Right, I want to welcome us again to another interesting moment in the presence of God. I want to welcome us to the presence of God. I want to say you are highly welcome to this program on Family Essence. This is a bi-weekly program staged to ensure that the love of God is shared above and the hope of eternal life is offered to everyone that is interested in securing their place in the kingdom of God. And I want to believe that God has been good to us so far. Of course, if you've missed any of our messages, you can go on the website theboatchristianministry.org to listen to the sermons if you've missed any of those in the past. And I want to encourage you to do so, and I pray that the Lord God Almighty will enrich us and will bless our lives in Jesus' name. We welcome again to Family Essence, where, of course, we share the Word of God. We look at the Scriptures so that we will be able to we'll have the hope of eternal life. And, of course, here we just learn the Word of God. We'll read through the Scriptures. And as the Holy Spirit leads, we'll be able to, you know, discuss look at what the Holy Spirit talks about, and inspiring the writer of the books, the Bible, and then to be able to have our life blessed through God's word. It's a long weekend over here in Canada, so Monday is an holiday I think it's Thanksgiving Day, so it's an holiday here. Wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice, I want to appreciate us for joining in the Family Essence program today. We will look at we will spend some time, a few moments in prayer, and then we'll look at the Word of God, and I want to believe we will be greatly blessed by God's words today. If you've seen the flyer, the subject we're talking about is on the flyer, talking about the perilous times. Of course, as we see, there are so many things that contend with the faith of believers today, and it is important that we remind ourselves about our life on earth and what we are, where we are supposed to be standing as Christians, and having the hope of eternal life before us. It's non-negotiable. It's very, very crucial at this point. And I want to believe that God will bless our lives and will enrich us as we look into God's words today. So I want us to bow our heads as we pray together. Let's commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord, that as we have come into the presence of God today, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to first appreciate God for making it possible for us to be gathered today, for us to be able to sit in His presence. I want to believe there are a lot of other places in the world that the individual have to learn his own Bible by himself, because there are persecutions going on around, and you dare not, you know, hold the Bible, you dare not talk about Christ, you dare not. So there are a lot of things that are not permitted in those atmosphere, in those community, in those villages, in those cities. And here we are, being able to look into God's word, being able to join in the program online. Things have been monitored here and there in some other countries that are against the Word of God. gaining its way into the lives of people. I want us to bless the name of the Lord for making it possible for us to be in His presence today. It is a good thing to be in the presence of God. I mean, that's the best place you can be. That is the best place anyone can be. That's the best place we can be. Psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was glad when I was told, let us go into the house of the Lord to be able to learn in His presence. To be able to learn in His presence. Psalm 122. I want us to appreciate God for the gift of life He has given to us, to our families. I want us to thank God for making it possible for us to be alive today. The gift of life given to us is a privilege, because in God are privileges. So let's thank God because He has made it possible for us to be kept alive today. It is not by doing, it is not by intelligence, it is not by ability. It is not by what we know. It is not by, you know, what we have. It is not by, by credits or anything. It is just by the mercies of God, because God has deemed it fit for us to be alive today. Let's thank God. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord Almighty, we thank You for making it possible for us to be gathered today. We want to appreciate You for another interesting time in Your presence. We love to be in Your presence, and that's the reason why we are gathered here again today in Your presence, to look into Your word and to be able to get the blessings that You have for us today on Family Essence. Lord, we pray that You will enrich our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Enrich our lives through Your word and inspire us through Your word to be able to do more for You in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, we ask, you know, God, that as we are gathered together today, we pray that You will open the windows of heaven and You pour out Your blessings upon our lives in Jesus' name. And the blessings of obedience to Your word will be our portion today in the name of Jesus. Give us the grace to be the doer of Your word and not the hearers only. Give us the grace to put Your word into practicality, into our living, everyday living in the name of Jesus. Let Your grace be poured upon our lives in Jesus' name. Bless the speaker, bless the listener today in the name of Jesus. Well, thank You, Father, for we know it is done. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. All right, so well, without moving forward here, we will be looking at God's word. It is a good thing to be in the presence of God, and I want to believe God has a lot to share with us today. The topic before us, what we'll be looking at, is perilous times. Perilous times. Perilous times. I'm often, I mean, when we hear perilous times, we look at, you know, you begin to analyze within your mind that yes, we are really in a perilous times. At this time, is we are the hedge. We are. It's a critical, you know, situation at this time. I mean, the world is coming to an end. A lot of things will keep coming to your mind, and you begin to take inventory of your life. You begin to look at, okay, am I securing the right standing with God? What is it I'm doing that is wrong? So when, you know, when messages like this are preached, a lot of people are, you know, very sensitive to the way they listen to the word. And you know, perilous time. Yes, we are at the edge. I mean, things are happening. These are the last days. You keep seeing things, the news, everything. Everyone is kind of like sensitive and, you know, to what is about to happen. And then, of course, not to create any fear in us, but to be able to look at the word of God in itself. And then we will begin to look at, you know, taking inventory of our lives to be able to look at where we stand and to be able to look at where we are coming from, where we are, and where we are going to. So perilous times. We'll be taking our text from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. Before we consider that, you know, we all have basically priority in terms of when we go out, for instance, you go to the market, you go to, you know, shop or something like that. I remember when I was still young, I used to, you know, follow my mom to the marketplace, basically to help her carry few loads, you know. And you know, because I'm just that kind of person that I just like to help, basically. So I follow my mom. Some of my siblings will be at home. Sometimes they tag along if my mom feels that the old things she's going to buy from the market is too heavy, will be too heavy for her and all that. So they tag along. But most of the time, I do follow her to the marketplace to carry, to help her lift some stuffs and all that, because we don't have a car. So I have compassion within me for my mom, because anytime she's coming back from the market and she has all these things around her, on her head, on her two hands, I kind of pity her. I don't know, I just pity her, and then I help her lift some of those things and all that, not really considering. Some of my friends will be playing, but immediately I sight my mom going to the market, whatever I'm doing, I will leave it and follow her. Whatever, no matter how intense the play group is, no matter how interested, I will leave it and follow. If I just see her going to the market, sometimes she will just come to where I'm playing, and then she will say, she will tell I and my twin brother that she's going to the market. I said, my joy, okay. I will say, no, I must. I don't know. I'm just that kind of guy. So before I delve on, I will read the book of Second. Delve into the discussion here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. Now, this is Paul the Apostle writing to his adopted spiritual son, let me put it that way, Timothy, basically. Timothy has been under the tutelage of Paul for a long time, and we are privileged, basically, to have this book of Timothy that Paul the Apostle, these letters that Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy to actually encourage him in the faith, to make him understand the importance of not looking backwards when you have decided to follow Christ, the importance of not going back to the sinful nature that, you know, we used to be, and the importance of, you know, considering the situation, you know, in the world today, you know, and not to, because there is no glory in the world, right? There is no glory here. So the focus should be on eternity. And Paul had to write to Timothy, and by extension to us as Christians today, to make us understand that these are the last days, and you begin to see different kind of things. And as you see these things happen, and you begin to listen to the news, you begin to see the reality of things happening in the public space, you begin to see things happen in the mall, wherever, school, things happening around, it is important for us to draw more closer to God than to be listening to or to want to play into the hands of the world. Because there is no benefit in that. There is gain in Christ when you decide to follow the laws of God. But when a man decides to look at the other side of the divide, and then you begin to draw away from God. There are a lot of things that separates man from God. Sin separates man from God, and then when you think about God, God is very far from you. That's what sin does, basically. So Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy to make him understand that these are the last time. So I'll read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says here, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." So what that means in essence is that it will be very hard to be a Christian. It will be very hard to be a Christian, to live that Christ-like, you know, nature. It will be very hard. That's what Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy. He was telling Timothy here. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's the reason why it will be hard. You first of all put yourself forward first before you put Christ. Whereas you are supposed to, Christ has given, he came to deliver grace to us, you know, and he brought a lot of things around eternal life, presented it to us, you know. But then man is, we have decided to put ourselves forward instead of putting the cross forward, instead of putting Christ forward, instead of putting eternity forward, instead of putting the kingdom of God forward. The first thing you think about is yourself. So he's saying that they will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. So now it's important. As I was, you know, if you want to, if you take inventory of, you know, inventory of our lives, we would discover that there are things that takes priority in our lives, basically. For instance, when my mom goes to the market to buy things, I've watched her, so I can tell you the first thing she will first of all buy, you know, before other things. She puts my dad first, basically. So that means whatever she wants to buy, she first of all consider the meat, she consider the pepper, she consider my dad's food first. That's the first thing on her list before she considered other buying other things, you know, and all that. She first of all buy those things before she even buy biscuits or anything. There are things that takes priority in our lives, basically. When you go to a grocery store to buy stuff, you will discover that there are things that basically takes priority on your list. Maybe you consider, it depends basically on what you have on your list as individuals. Even in our work life, there are things that take priority and all that. So Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy here, let nothing take priority other than the love of God, other than eternity. That should come first. That was the reason why Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." When you seek first, every other thing now will be added. So it's important. Perilous times are, it's things, a lot of things will contend with our faith in this end time. Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy by extension to us to make us understand that our priority in life is our reality in God. Yes, that should take priority. That should be the first. Whatever anybody says to you, whatever situations you find yourself, you know, the first thing that should take priority is God. The first thing that should take priority is your walk with God, is your faith in God. It's not what any other person says. It's not what we watch on the TV. It's not. The first thing first is the kingdom of God. If you are being offered a position, you look at what the position can do to your Christian faith. There are things in our career that would make us to be far away from God. There are jobs we should not take. There are jobs, though it might pay more, be in a managerial position, or even, you know, top executives and stuff like that, you know, but that may take you far away from God. Now, he's saying that you have to consider the kingdom of God first. You have to love God. Your love for God should not, nothing should be able to compete with the love of God in you. So he's saying men shall be lovers of their own self, meaning that the perilous times means that it is hard these days to be a Christian. A lot of people, you know, they are looking for what is not lost. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added. There are a lot of things that should take priority in our lives. You know, that takes priority basically in our lives. But one important thing that should be first is the love of God. So when you begin to take inventory of your life, we begin to look at take inventory of our lives, we'll begin to see those things that take priorities that have shifted the place of God in our lives, that have caused a divide. And those things are very important. Those things actually command our obedience rather than the love of God commanding our obedience. So Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy to make him understand the importance of the love of God and prioritizing the kingdom of heaven first and seeking first the kingdom of heaven, putting that first in any matter. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever we are doing, it's important that we pull that forward. Now, I will read from the book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 in verse 18. This is just, this is another story of, this is another parable that Jesus actually talked about, basically. In the book of Luke chapter 14 in verse 18, I'll read those. It says there from verse 13, I'll back up to verse 13, and we'll go from there. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, and the lame, the blind. Those are likely to listen to what you want to say. In verse 12, it says there, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, call the maimed, call the lame, call the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. They cannot easily give to you, and they are not likely to easily do what you say, basically. There's a lot of details in this passage of scripture, basically. But my emphasis is on verse 16. It says there, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Just the way we preach the hope of eternal life to people, the love of God to people, you know, not too many people are likely to accept those because to them, a lot of things are working for them, basically. I mean, you talk about money, they are working, they are getting money. You talk about car, they have car. You talk about house, they have house. They have houses or house. You talk about things, just think about anything you can think of. You're talking of vacation, they have access to vacation. You're talking of bonuses, they have bonuses. It's saying that for those kind of people, they may not prioritize the kingdom of heaven. That what are you saying? Kingdom of heaven. I'm enjoying life, I'm living large here. So why should I accept that? Without considering that, that is the most important subject in our life as humans on earth. So that was the reason why Christ made that example of call the poor. Those are more likely to pay attention to what you want to offer. So the place of, you know, calling the poor and all that, it's just telling us that we may have everything, but we are not still living according to the way God wants us to live. Somebody can have money, he can have everything, but then is he fulfilled? Is there fulfillment in that? There is no fulfillment and there is no satisfaction. Apart from that, that is not the reason and the essence of our living, of our lives on earth. Our first priority is to seek first the kingdom of heaven, because that is our reality. That is where we are going to end up. If a man dies today, he doesn't know where he's going. An ordinary man will feel, okay, I just die, they bury me and then that's it. No, there's a life after death. There is a life after death. And that reality is what Christ came to present to us, that there is a life after death. So it says there in verse 17, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. Now, if you look at the excuses that these people are making, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, which is legitimate, and I must need to go see it. Maybe he needs to, you know, prepare the paperwork and, you know, just make sure everything is good. Those are legitimate reasons. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's good. And I go to prove them. Let me see how they are doing. Which is it? You know, legitimate reasons. Things that are legitimate are things that these people are presenting to the person who, you know, made the great supper and all that. You know, and then in verse 21, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being hungry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring either the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou art commanded, and yet there are rooms. And the Lord said unto him, go out again into the highways and edges and compel them to come, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden at first shall taste off my supper. So it's important that there are things we prioritize, but there is one main thing that must take priority in our lives, which would be the number one on the list, and that is the kingdom of God. That is life after death. That is where we are going to end up. Our reality on earth is not just this world, is the life after death. Heaven is the goal, must be the end goal. And that will inform how we live our lives as Christians. That will inform what we do. That will inform, you know, the way we live our lives, the way we coordinate our lives, the way we shape our lives. And, you know, if we seek first the kingdom of heaven, every other thing will be added. The things of this world cannot satisfy man. Man is not, the only thing that can make man fulfilled is your identity in Christ, in God. That's the only thing that can bring fulfillment. Yes, that's the only thing. Otherwise, the rat race does not end. Oh, you see, I was just with my wife and then they show a new iPhone. I said, this is a new iPhone, Pro 17 or something. I said, they've released that one now, they are making another one. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to come. Nothing, it will never end. They will see something. They will see a feature that say, when you click this one, it will automatically pop up and you don't need to struggle again. You know, when that one ends, they will come up with a new device. The research never ends, because knowledge will keep increasing. So it's important that we come to that realization, and for us to be able to understand that our reality on earth is the kingdom of heaven. So I want us to take an inventory of our lives. It's important from time to time. I do the same. I take inventory and I begin to look at my life. What is my priority? What do I prioritize? Have I considered the kingdom of heaven? Have I put the kingdom of heaven first, or I put myself first? You know, this passage of scripture, Paul writing to Timothy and Jesus Christ explaining what it means to prioritize the kingdom of heaven, is telling us that there is more to what we are experiencing in this life. There is a life, a kingdom that we need to identify with. The kingdom of the world system cannot profit you anything. Yes, because you look at the excuses that these men are giving. They are giving excuses. Those legitimate reasons. I've just married, and therefore I cannot come. Yeah, I just got married. Won't I consummate my marriage? Won't I? There are a lot of things. I need to take my wife shopping. I need to buy things. I need to, a lot of things that comes in. They make a very fine presentation to the person that came to them to bid them of the great supper. Nice, all the strong reasons that they can present, they presented all, and then, you know, those are legitimate reasons. Yes, legitimate reasons. No, I need to do this. I need to do this. I just bought this. I just do this. I don't legitimate. There are reasons were legitimate. But he's saying no, these reasons can still wait. Have you prioritized the kingdom of heaven? So I want to ask us today that have we prioritized the kingdom of God? What do we put first in our lives? Do we put things that are ephemeral, things that are not, that can't give us the hope of eternal life? Do we prioritize those first? Or prioritize the kingdom of heaven first? It is a call for us today because we are in the end time. We can see things happening. Nobody needs to tell us that, hey, these things happening, they are signs of the end time. These are signs of the end time. You listen to the news, you see a lot of things happening in the world system, and then you begin to ask yourself, is this how things are going to be going? No. There is a day appointed. Yes, there's a day appointed that God will end, the world will come to an end, and then every man will now be on the side where he wants to be, either in heaven or in hell. So I'm telling us that there is a kingdom available that God has prepared. There's a place that God has prepared for those who are ready to walk, listen to his commandments, walk with him, and then receive the hope of eternal life so that they can live with him forever. They can be with him forever. So there's a need for us to look at our lives and then begin to analyze where do we want to be at the end of our life? Because when a man dies, it is appointed for man to die. After that, the judgment. There's a life, there's an economy available that Christ came into the world to present to us. So I want to ask us today, are you prepared for eternity? It is important that you look within yourself. The world system cannot profit anybody. No, it doesn't. In fact, there are no satisfaction, there is no glory anywhere. And that reality exists and is captured in the kingdom of heaven. So I want to appeal to us today that whatever we do, let's prioritize the kingdom of heaven first. Let's prioritize God first, the love of God. Let's prioritize it first before any other things. Yes, they have the tendency of denying the existence of God, the tendency of denying the cross of Christ, the tendency of denying a lot of things, the love of God, even when things are presented to us, either career-wise, either marital-wise, whatever situation, basically, the tendency of denying that still exists. So I'm saying that seek first the kingdom of heaven and all other things shall be added. Paul wrote to Timothy, it is hard to be a Christian. Perilous times. And we are living in perilous times when men shall be lovers of themselves. A lot of things, you look at them and then you begin to, do I even love Christ? Do I even love God? So let's take inventory of us, of our lives, and then begin to, amend our ways, begin to accept the person of Jesus, because that's the only person that can give us hope. That's the only life that we should have. The world system, the life of this world, cannot bring any fulfillment to us. I'll be praying with us, and then I want, if you are yet to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to make up your mind today. Or perhaps you have accepted Christ, but you have gone back into the world system, into the world. You started doing those things that you were not doing before. You started sinning. You started lying. You started fighting. You started keeping malice. You've been doing things that are opposite to what Christ came to present to us, which is salvation, which is deliverance from sin. I will be praying with us today, and I want to believe that God, in His infinite mercy, will forgive our sins and our trespasses. Let's begin to let's begin to pray and talk to God today that this period, in these last days, we want to be free from sin. We want to live a life pure, holy, and righteous with God. It is with men, it is impossible. If you are looking at yourself, oh, no, 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 no. Nobody can forgive me, not even God. No, no, no. That is wrong. God forgives sin. If you are sincere, if you come to Him sincerely, and you see your life and you notice that you are incapable, you are insufficient. I mean, you realize that you're a bag of infirmity and then you need someone to help you. God is able to deliver you from any bondage of sin and corruption that has eaten you up. God is able. And I'll be praying with you today, and I want to believe the power of sin will be broken in your life, and God will give you freedom, total freedom from sin, in Jesus' name. Before we pray, I will need you to look within yourself and begin to confess your sins to God and begin to ask God for forgiveness, begin to ask God for repentance, begin to ask God for salvation, begin to ask God to deliver you from the bondage of corruption, from the bondage of sin that has held you for years, for months, for almost half of your life. Let's begin to ask God for forgiveness. Let's begin to pray. Our God is a merciful God. Only if we come to Him sincerely. Not that we want Him to forgive us today and then tomorrow we go back to sin. No, that's not the way God works. He sees our hearts. He knows if we're sincere with our confession, right? Nothing is hidden from Him. He is our creator. He knows us. So He's able to forgive and is able to break that yoke of sin in our lives. And I pray that so shall it be in Jesus' name. I'll be praying with us. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Our righteous God in heaven, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for today. We bless Your name. Thank You for Your word that has come to us today. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, oh God, that as many that are repenting of their sins, as many that are asking for forgiveness of sin, as many that have realized that they cannot do things on their own, they are incapable, that they are bag of infirmities, that they are insufficient of themselves. Lord, I pray that every old of sin in their lives, let it be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that every old of sin, every yoke of sin that they are tied to, I pray that it be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash them whiter than snow in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking that You give them the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. The grace to live a life, a pure life, a holy life, a righteous life, I pray that You will grant unto them in Jesus' name. Let Your mercy prevail upon their lives in Jesus' name. I pray, O God, that You will help them, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, for anointing them. Help them to live for You alone. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Okay.